Oh, okay. I possibly find another place for the microphone.
Is it better now?
No.
Unbearable.
Yo, can you hear me now? Okay. Yeah, I try to speak a little bit louder. So I would like to welcome you to my talk, Samba 3 in the Enterprise. My name is Günther Deschner, and I'm giving a talk about experiences I made as a Linux consultant. First of all, I would like to shortly introduce myself a little bit and then concentrate on several aspects of enterprise requirements and prerequisites of enterprise use of the current Samba 3 technology. So this talk is not about Samba 4, not at all. It's really about the sometimes somehow frustrating experiences users might experience when they use Samba 3 in large environments. I'm going to split my talk a little bit. I'm concentrating on two main sectors of enterprise requirements. The first one is about scalability and performance. And I will look on using Samba as a domain controller and then later on using Samba as a file and print server. And in the second part, I'm talking a little bit about migration. I hope I won't talk too much. I know there are other talks which are exclusively handling migration issues tomorrow. But migration itself is also an enterprise requirement, because when you are really approaching large setups, enterprises, migration is just a critical issue for these kind of environments. Yeah, my name is, as I said, Günther Deschner. I'm currently working for the research and development department at Novell SUSE Linux. I have been doing Linux consultancy for a couple of years now. Just until very recently, I worked together with Volker Lendecke at the service network at Cernet. And yeah, before that, I was also doing consultancy work in Berlin. I have a strong interest in the Samba project beginning with the year 2001. And yeah, it all evolved the typical way. I started to try to understand several aspects of the code and then wrote smaller patches. And since last year, I'm a member of the Samba team, focusing on small enhancements of the Samba 3 suite, adding smaller features, smaller tools. So I'm just starting my work inside the Samba project, but have many ideas, but yeah, like all you have, not enough time. During my time as a Linux consultant, I was involved in quite a huge amount of Samba-related projects, mainly due to my location in Berlin in the area of public authorities and governmental institutions. So I was really having a lot, I got lots of experiences during the development cycles of the Samba project, and yeah, this is what I hope to make the talk a little bit more interesting from several examples from the practical work. First of all, what are enterprise requirements? What do I mean with this term? And of course, what is meant by the term the enterprise itself? With enterprise, I mean companies that are characterized by their sheer size, first of all. You have these typical areas where Samba software has been used for a long, long time now, which is the smaller areas of small companies who use Samba for a certain aspect of their daily work, like file service, later on domain logon service. Most often, these type of companies had a certain amount of very specialized people, so-called Unix gurus with lots of know-how, and people who really put a lot of effort into bringing Samba into the company and to behave it in a way that it was useful for the whole company. The enterprise itself is really a little different approach. These companies are very huge. They have dedicated IT departments with very, very strict requirements with policies. And they have a somewhat different approach when they have a look at the Samba suite. And it's just not that they can bring Samba to their company as they would like to, but they have to fulfill a lot of requirements. So really, they're stuck with a whole checklist of several aspects of characteristics of software that Samba must fulfill. And I've listed one of these problematic areas that Samba is meeting when it is used in these enterprise environments. First of all, as I said, the size of the user group and machine databases that are in place on these sites is very huge. It starts with several thousands and has, of course, a more or less open end. Enterprise companies usually have a complex or huge trusted domain setup, which represents most often a distributed network topology with branch offices and sometimes networks split over continents even. Enterprise companies also have very high expectations when it comes to have the ability to do very elaborate migration scenarios. They really want to be able to move all their data, which is by nature of a very huge amount, from one system operation platform to another in a way that is really automatable, scriptable, and just provides a form of comfort because they're no longer doing this way of manual administration as much as smaller companies. Apart from these technical aspects, enterprise customers also have this human side where you meet project managers who really have a very certain meaning of what the software they want to implement in their company has to fulfill. They tend to take Samba as a one-to-one replacement for their existing Windows server systems. And this is really one of the first things a consultant has to do to really give a clear picture of what Samba is currently able to do, what are the possibilities, but also where are the barriers and where are the limits of this software as it is in its current form. Apart from project managers, also a huge role is playing the administrators sector, which is usually in huge companies very Windows-centric, and these people have a huge amount of work to fulfill. They are used to their tools they use in daily work to administer the daily task, and they also have a very distinct expectation of how Samba has to behave when being administered. So when we sum up all these points, you maybe already got the feeling that Samba is really thrown into environments, meanwhile, where Samba is really not performing in the best way. It's really now hitting limits of scalability. Samba, at least Samba 3, of course, I'm always talking about Samba 3, was not initially being designed for. So what I'm trying to answer during this talk is, first of all, the question, is Samba actually able at all to meet these enterprise requirements? Can it survive in these kinds of very high expectations, very high requirements? And what I want to show is also what the Samba team is currently doing or has already done to improve certain aspects of Samba 3 scalability and the performance during the past couple of months. When you're in one of these projects in huge enterprise companies, you really suddenly feel yourself as a direct competitor to the Windows 2003 server suit, which Samba 3, of course, is not. It's not an equivalent, not at all, but it's just perceived as an equivalent, and this is a somewhat hard battle to fight sometimes. We've seen this one already. So I want to concentrate on the two major points of enterprise usage. First of all, scalability and performance. I want to talk first about Samba as a domain controller for Windows domain. When we are talking about domain controllers in this area, we, of course, are talking about LDAP directory services. Most huge domain controllers that are built up based on Samba use LDAP directory services with all the obstacles that are bound to this combination. So first of all, we have now in this combination with Samba and LDAP, the first critical aspect, we don't own the open LDAP server. We do own it in Samba 4, and we're able to influence it and to shape it to suit our needs, but we don't have it when we are in the Samba 3 world. We are always dependent on external software projects, and the most common project when we are talking about domain control LDAP support is the Open LDAP project. Most of you most probably know, some more, some less. So we have Open LDAP, and this is a project outside of the influence sphere of Samba. So we have to first, when we are talking about really scalability in this area, we have to do research and to analyze how performant and how scalable is really this first element of the whole combination. How scalable is Open LDAP itself? How well is it performing under critical circumstances? And there are very different opinions about how good the Open LDAP software suite itself is. There are lots of complaints about the libraries behaving somewhat unexpected under certain circumstances. But in general, when it is really a newer release, which means not the newest branch release, but really a high release from the, let's say, 2.2 series. And if it's a new release and there's really a lot of BerkeleyDB tuning in place, then Open LDAP is really a very scalable and very well-performing solution. Of course, it has its problems, as you all know. There's no multi-master replication. There are a couple of other features missing. But it's really it can be a powerful instrument when really well configured. So the second critical aspect is how well does Samba now communicate with the external directory service. Yeah, we can admit that, or we have to admit that earlier Samba 3 versions really had a very huge amounts of problems in this area. We had a very relatively poor LDAP performance for huge databases in general, and we had especially a very high inefficiency of how domain logons from Windows XP were handled inside the Samba LDAP code. This is due to some technical dependencies. Like inside of Samba 3, we have the PDB interface for accessing user accounts, accessing the UDA database, modifying it, querying it. And the LDAP calls were just a one-to-one copy of the old of other calls that are just querying accounts information from, let's say, files or from other network-related backends like NIS or whatever. So it doesn't really get all. It doesn't use these very fine-grained mechanisms to really do very intelligent queries, to save bandwidth by just requesting specific attributes and all these kinds of things. This was missing in the early times of the LDAP support of the Samba 3 server code. And when you now throw a Samba and Open LDAP combination into a very, very huge setup with huge amounts of accounts, you will see very bizarre phenomenons, like most of the things you're trying to achieve, let's say domain logons, the start of the user manager, administration utility, and a couple of other things, won't work at all due to a couple of reasons, like the layering of MSRPC calls who access by themselves inside the server-side implementation. The PDB backend itself accesses or triggers Open LDAP library-based queries to the directory service. All this layering is really not very well suited to handle huge amounts of user database, especially when it comes to enumerating calls, listing of the whole user or group database, or similar calls. The effect that applications will break down and domain logons and a couple of other things will never return to you, will never really lock you onto a domain, is a result of mainly of timeouts. That when you do a call indirectly or directly, one of these MSRPC calls that access a huge database by enumerating lots of information out of a directory server, you are triggering a call that will come back too late because the LDAP query, the amount of data that is pushed over the network is just too huge. And this is the phenomenon. So when we sum up all these barriers, all these weaknesses in the area of how Samba is accessing directory services, what could we do and what was done during the last months? There are various LDAP-related improvements happened inside the Samba 3 code base. First of all, we almost completely replaced all these expensive enumeration calls by direct fine-grained LDAP queries, filtered LDAP queries, wherever possible. We did this on several occasions by several team members of those who are active in the Samba 3 branch. We have a variety of performance and scalability improvements, which are all known under the parametric option LDAP sum double point trusted equals yes, which by itself implies that the account information that is stored inside the directory service is used by NSS LDAP, and that account information from the Unix and from the Samba side is part of the same LDAP object. When you have these prerequisites, then LDAP sum trusted equals yes will bring you, under almost all circumstances, a further performance and scalability improvements. Further on, we didn't do one thing which had also very bad consequences, like all these enumeration calls for listing users, for listing machines, for listing inter-domain trust accounts, and a couple of other things. They have their mirror function inside the PDB layer, and the PDB layer itself did not have a very good distinction of where to query the LDAP server. So if you, for example, used the net utility, but also the user manager, to just list your inter-domain trust accounts, to list and to see trust relationships and possibly verify them, you were just indirectly triggering an LDAP call, which was nothing else like a full dump of the whole user and user account database. And the LDAP server then had to do the hard job of really looking at each single account comparing the ACB mask, the access mask, which in fact distinguish a user account from a machine account from inter-domain trust account. So very inefficient calls, and we had added some improvements in this area. Very recently, I had added LDAP page results, the standardized technology that allows to query very huge amounts of LDAP information, but not waiting for the whole response in one chunk, but to start queries, given the LDAP server information that I just want to see the first 1,000 results, and then I do query again with a cookie-based technology to get the next 2,000 and the next 1,000 and the next 1,000 and so forth. This allows in some areas to use Samba in huge account domains at all. Like when you're trying to use User Manager in a 40K user domain, you will never see any result because the LDAP server is the Samba server is so busy collecting all this information, and before it can even start to send back the first packages back to the client application, the User Manager, the client itself has already aborted. When you're using page results, we can directly give a first chunk of 1,000 entries after we've received them from the LDAP server. So we are much, much more flexible and scalable in this area. Yeah, to give an example, unfortunately, I can't name all projects by name due to a couple of reasons. We had one customer in the governmental area, also in Germany, and they had very huge problems with a Samba domain controller that was migrated from a Windows domain controller, and a huge amount of Windows XP clients that were all accessing and all trying to do domain logons on this server. So to give you an idea of the size of the whole Windows domain, they had more than 10,000 users, more than 7,000 machines, and more than 6,000 groups. And while they were doing the migration, while they were actually switching off their Windows systems and replacing them with Samba domain controllers, they made very bad experiences with the overall performance of the PDC, which led in the end to a complete PDC deadlock and the unavailability of any further login services from the Samba system. We then were consulted to analyze the system and to have a deeper look of where problems arise. Yeah, and then we identified that the system as it is in its current shape could just handle 300 concurrent domain logons spread over 8 minutes, which is not very much. And if you think about a very huge company with more than 10,000 users, when you say they're all arriving or starting work and spread over a time period of 1 hour, then it's almost a deadly consequence that the whole system has to freeze. Yeah, to actually help in this project, anyone a question? No. I'm sorry, but I just won't be able to give any names away because I'm no longer working for the company who did this consultancy job, and so. So first of all, we had the problems of how are we able to reproduce the problems this customer is seeing. We can't just ask them to do the whole migration process again and to run into this deadly situation again just for us to be able to collect more information. So we had to take a different approach, and for Calendica had the idea of writing an SMB torture test based on the SAMBA4 infrastructure, which does actually nothing else than just the same call, the same MSRPC SMB functions that a Windows XP client would do when logging onto a SAMBA domain. And this torture test was modeled after a very simple network sniff of a Windows XP workstation just doing this. So we were able to reproduce a typical XP login at will. And we then got access to a huge test lab with equivalent hardware like they had used in production. And then we put together the SMB torture test on the test lab hardware and wrote a couple of small scripts to trigger huge amounts of parallel SMB torture login attempts to really reproduce and simulate this deadlock situation they were seeing in reality. Yeah, we were easily able to reproduce the deadlock, first of all. This was important for us to really have a better feeling of what we are able to do and where we are able to help. Yeah, we, of course, collected lots of information, wrote some monitor benchmark collecting tools. And then we had, based on the reproducible problem, then we started to look at several areas inside of the SAMBA LDAP code where we could improve things to behave better. We tried or took as a general rule of thumb that we wanted to avoid redundant LDAP queries that we were seeing on the wire, queries for always the same information again and again. We were trying to avoid unnecessary enumerations wherever possible, replace them with direct, fine-grained, detailed LDAP queries. So we put a lot of effort in this, partly from us, partly from other SAMBA team members. And in the end, we ended up with a very, very high-performing solution, at least under all test scenario conditions. We later on expanded, for example, the SMB torture test to not only do the typical steps Windows XP domain login involves, with regard to queries to the user database, but we also added small switches to the torture test to simulate downloads of roaming profiles, to download the login script and a couple of other things. Yeah, when we're talking about 300 concurrent logins in 8 minutes, we were later on seeing or able to do successful logons in the area of several thousands. I don't have the numbers exactly in my head, but it was something between 5,000 and 10,000. So a real performance boost. So at least for the domain controller, we could summarize that we have done quite some huge work to make SAMBA 3 more usable and more flexible, more scalable and more performant in this area. Yeah, I want to shortly speak a little bit about SAMBA as a file server as well. SAMBA itself does not have any, in general at least, any huge problems, and is actually known for a rather good file serving performance, apart from very specific areas like directories with lots of files, where Jeremy lately has done a couple of improvements. But there are always some implicit issues when you're using, like they did, Windows Samba file servers together with Samba domain controllers. When you're using NSS LDAP, again, to represent the Unix accounts on your Samba file servers, yeah, then you eagerly have to watch the amount of parallel LDAP connections that is hitting the LDAP servers. So you have to notice that there are a couple of limitations, especially in older open LDAP versions, about the number of possible concurrent connections. There has been some, actually triggered by the problems we were seeing here, some discussion inside of the Open LDAP project, who then replaced some technical components of their software to deal better with this situation. Then what we see very often is, of course, WinBind on Samba domain members. WinBind itself tends to block under certain circumstances, like when querying information from a at the time unavailable domain controller in a trusted domain. So there's also a lot of work going on finally having a non-blocking implementation of WinBind. This work is going on in trunk. It's not finished as far as I can tell, but there's a couple of things in this direction going on. Yeah, we have another small issues in this project I was just talking about, like the sequence number call WinBind is using internally to get a notification somehow if the SAM database, the user account database, has any change in any area. Sequence numbers is a concept from the NT4 world. They behave somewhat differently on Windows systems starting with Windows 2000. But they are one of the key elements of the internal caching mechanisms inside of WinBind. And what we were seeing in this project is that the sequence number is just a numeric number. And to get this number, there are, again, MSRPC calls with different info levels. And what WinBind was doing is using an MSRPC call that, as a side effect, triggered a full dump of the complete user database. Like, this call does not just give you the small sequence number, it also gives you the total amount of all users in the domain, the total amount of all machines, the total amount of all groups, and a couple of other numeric values, just to get an ordinary sequence number. So based on the SAMBA 4 IDL code, we were very easily able to identify an info level of this same MSRPC call that just queries the sequence number and just leaves away all these other numbers of total accounts. So this sounds relatively harmless when you just hear it in this abstract talk, more or less. But when you consider that you have a huge network with, let's say, 100 or 200 Samba file servers using WinBind, and they all start to query the sequence number quite regularly. They're using a caching timeout to avoid the recreate too often, but you can easily calculate that your central PDC, your central domain controller, Samba domain controller, is kept very busy with just counting his number of own accounts, completely useless. Yeah. I'm a bit short in time, so I'm skipping some of the issues. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask them immediately. Yeah, another example of enterprise level or enterprise ready file server businesses was done with based on Samba 3 is the Federal Ministry of Finance, a customer I can really name because it was also a press article in the German computer magazine EX about certain aspects of the work I've done, me and others, of course. Yeah, the Federal Ministry of Finance in Berlin is using a heavily storage area network-based infrastructure based on EMC Symmetrix. And they use Samba and Samba-related technology like SQUID proxies with NTLM authentication and other things. And the core of the Samba projects there is a very huge file server which provides home directories and roaming profiles for more than 2,500 accounts. Who use it every day and very, very flawlessly, and it's a system that is really running for a couple of years now. yeah, we had some interesting ideas and developments there as well, like when they're storing all their data on storage area network partitions, they wanted to be able to immediately switch the whole partitions to another node in case that the old node is crashing or having any technical problems or is unavailable or other things. So part of their high availability concept is the ability to really move data very quickly and to offer the same service from a different node. So when using WinBind on a window on a Samba file server, you're very familiar, I guess, with the problematic of achieving a unified mapping, that you really that Unix UIDs and group IDs are always represented in the same manner among several nodes. Yeah, and then we had this idea of simplifying the ID map the ID map layer inside of WinBind to just calculate the Unix UIDs and group IDs based on the relative identifier of the ZID. This is a solution which has a couple of serious issues, but if you know about these issues and are, if you actually exactly know what you're doing, then you can use this ID map plugin very successful and very easily. It's extremely fast, and I guess a lot of you were involved in the discussion of this plugin. Yeah. Okay, finally, I want to quickly jump over the last aspect of enterprise usage of Samba 3, migration. Here again, we had a customer, also in the governmental area, who has a quite sophisticated process of how he is administering, building up, and working on a very huge amount of file and print servers. They have around 300 of them. And they were interested in using Samba and Linux in general, but they had very distinct requirements. They wanted to be able to work on their old data as quickly as possible after they have done a migration. So they wanted to have a solution that provides a flawless, unintended, automated migration somehow, as far as possible at least. And they had another problem, like lots of enterprise customers see very often, that they had only very few administrators with Unix know-how, which were in a somewhat different, somewhat complicated situation inside of the company, opposing a very huge Windows-centristic administrators group. Yeah, I guess also a topic most of you are familiar with. So we thought about how can we achieve or go into this direction of really having a technical framework somehow to do a transparent and complete migration from existing file servers from Windows to Samba. And what and how are we able to really do a kind of a server cloning to really move data from one server to another that clients don't notice ideally no difference. This was the final goal of the whole migration project. And of course, all the security relevant information that was valid on the Windows system must retain their validity on the new Samba system. Yeah, then we first took a look of what migration actually means. So was it just to migrate the user and group accounts? What is possible since a long time already within that RPC Vampire facility, you most probably know. But among that, there are, of course, a couple of other things that are part of a file server migration, especially, of course, the data that's actually on the partitions. We have the shares, the share definitions with path names, with comments, and with security descriptors, which are ACLs, in fact. Yeah, then, of course, we have the files, not only the files have ACLs, they have DOS attributes, they have timestamps, all these kind of things. And we're talking about Samba, we're not just talking about file servers, we're also talking about print servers. So we have printers and all a huge bunch of information that is related to printers, like drivers, forms and settings, ACLs again, all these kind of things. So there's a very heterogeneous amount of data that has to be moved. And the tools that are available to fulfill some parts of these migration needs are just not suitable enough to do. Like we're going to look on the utilities to be able to copy, printers. For the time being, when we're doing this project, this PrintMIC binary Microsoft is currently providing to do print server migration didn't even exist, so there was almost nothing to use when you were planning to migrate a print server from one node to another, except, of course, to code Kutpfeifel's scripting framework, which was heavily based on the RPC client's possibilities to control printers, to manipulate printers, to add printers. But the RPC client facilities are somewhat just able to handle clear text data. They're not able to set security descriptors and all kind of things that we wanted to migrate from the one system to the other. So NET was a very good candidate because it provided a lot of infrastructure needed to access network, to access files, to access printers. Now, not to access printers, we added a couple of things to this. But we ended up with a very complex set of subcommands for the NET utility that are, I must admit, horribly difficult to use and still undocumented, but in fact are quite powerful if well understood and well used. Yeah, all these subcommands have some common characteristics. They're nothing else like a binary on top of the client libraries at the Samba 3 project offers. Like when it's opening a file, it just does it in the same manner like, for example, SMB client and other programs does it. When it's accessing security descriptors, it's always using internal library functions that already existed. So it's actually nothing else than putting together things that already were there. When used to move data from one server to the other, if it's going to migrate to the local system, the server has to run because it's exclusively using network-based functions. So it's not operating like, for example, the smbget command, which is copying file data to the local disk. So it's requiring to communicate from one node to the other. So servers have to be up and running. Yeah, it's a short list of all the available subcommands for migrating shares and printers. It's quite sophisticated, and all these subcommands also take several other options. I hope I'll be able to commit the documentation in the next week or someone. Yeah, initially I planned to do a short demonstration of these functionalities, but didn't work out because I don't have a new laptop yet. I'm in the process of changing the company, and so this one is borrowed as well. It's not mine. So it can just show you the quite abstract syntax, which in the first example would migrate printer drivers for this printer named HP Laser from server 1 to server 2. So the command below would do that. The second example is to migrate the share, my share, including all files, all directories recursively. In this case, including ACLs, security permissions, and DOS attributes from a Windows system to the local Samba server. It's horribly abstract, I have to admit, but just to give you a short idea. So if we sum up all these small examples of how projects in the enterprise area were run and what we have done, where we have improved or added several features to Samba 3, we can sum up that Samba 3 is actually not in that bad shape to really face customer needs. It was not in the best condition a couple of releases ago, but there's really lots of work going on. And there are actually quite some people working on adding new features to the Samba 3 code base. Of course, we will be in an enormously better situation when the Samba 4 developers are closer to production level with their Samba version. Then we will be able to reach, of course, completely different areas of scalability and performance. But the main message of what I wanted to give in my talk is really that you're not alone and that work is going on in Samba 3. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Günther, for this very enlightening talk. I think most of us in this room have faced one or the other problems ourselves. Who has not?